Is worship style a race thing? When you worship, do you bow your head or do you raise your hands? Is it happy clappy or smells and bells? Is it about jubilation and enthusiasm, or is it about quiet, mournful solemnity? I recently watched a documentary John Gorka recommended to me about gospel music called Rejoice and Shout. It helped me come up with some observations about the different kinds of worship music. A sharp dichotomy really got highlighted by every person who appeared in the documentary. They talked about the differences between the same two basic types of worship music in much the way I just did under the heading here. And they felt it was a race thing, at least originally. One thing I noticed was that where the people were coming from really seemed to determine what kind of music they connected well with. Also, it affected what the music they created themselves sounded like. Race doesn't ever explain everything, but watching this documentary made me feel that it was something worth considering, at least, as to how the two basic kinds of church were getting done. The film showed how African people who'd worked on the plantations as slaves and their children for a couple of generations afterward really identified with music about God giving you freedom, because they had none. They had always been treated like they didn't matter, like they weren't even really human beings at all. And the music created by them and their children spoke of a God who knew your name, who loved you, who was going to get involved in your life and make it work, a God who threw off chains and wanted to hear you raise your voice from mountaintops. He wanted you to wave at him, not bow your head low. One point made in the film was that this one specific image, the thought of one day going over the River Jordan to be free, resonated strongly with folk who had to literally get across one river or another, the Mississippi, the Ohio, to get to states where they could legally be free men and women. Even the Christmas carol O Holy Night, written by white guys, has a verse talking about this from a white point of view. This verse is generally skipped.
Truly he taught us to love one another. His law is love, and his gospel is peace. Chains shall he break, for the slave he is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Fall on your knees, oh hear the angel voices, oh night divine, oh night when Christ was born.
The gospel music, created and enjoyed by black people, was about not only having a voice, but dressing up proudly and going out to church, where you were encouraged to raise your voice up really loudly and demonstrate your connection to this God who made you because he liked it and wanted others to see how happy he'd made you. It was about letting go, speaking up, and standing up and letting everything out. When the American Civil Rights Movement got going in the 50s and 60s, the character of the hymns at black churches only got more and more distinctive and strident. These hymns focused on freedom and on treating all human beings properly. The connection between the many gospel music groups whose songs were being sung in the black churches at that time and activists like Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was very clear to everyone. Black church music was the soundtrack, the fuel, that drove much of the civil rights movement. We shall overcome. By contrast, the more typically white hymns were frequently about self-control and very much about giving up freedom. Few hymns written during the Civil Rights Movement era were sung in white churches until decades later. The hymnals were almost entirely filled with centuries-old hymns entirely written by white people. And they were sung in quiet, smooth, round, careful tones, with no room for an individual to put his or her stamp on the performance or alter phrasing and tempo at will. There was not a lot of smiling, and voices were not raised in howls, screams, yowls, or shouts of joy, as was certainly happening up the street. Nope. Quiet, smooth, round, careful. Because control was such a thing for white hymn writers, this is also where you saw many of the lyrics which promised to give all that control over to God. Also, having more in terms of material possessions, white middle-class church folks sang more frequently of being willing to theoretically sacrifice all of that for God, or at least of being willing to sacrifice the dream of upper-class wealth and remain simple, comfortably middle-class church-going folk.
I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather be his than a riches untold. I'd rather have Jesus than houses or lands. I'd rather be led by his nail-pierced hand than to be the king of a vast domain and be hailed in sin's dread sway. I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today.
Where the black churches rang with impassioned voices triumphing in the idea that God was going to give them freedom, the white churches were more likely to have hushed, reverent hymns about laying aside one's own right to choose the path of one's own life. To live a quiet, grateful, abashed, decent life, quietly, for God. With quiet, decent houses, yards, lawns, cars, and children. And a very subdued color palette seen in church wear. Even if songs about giving control of one's life over to God were sometimes sung by black believers, often the focus was less on giving up riches, as in I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold, and the idea was that God had made them delighted to loudly, joyfully live a better, more upright life, rather than said life being a silent, dutiful, bitter sacrificing of joy for God. The Staples singers were far more likely to sing respect yourself enough to live right, rather than to refer to themselves as wretches or such a worm as I. Officially, there really were black churches and white ones. People like Elvis Presley used to sneak out of their white church a bit early, go up the street and sneak into the back of a black church to listen to the music. In a black church, each and every singer seemed to strive to stand out by being as individualistic as possible. In white churches, the thing to do seemed to be to embrace uniformity and unison to a far greater degree. Each singer was just another one of the uniformly white keys on the organ. There don't seem to be any white equivalents of Sister Rosetta Tharpe playing Down by the Riverside in her flowered dress, hopping around in circles while laying down a solo on a Gibson SG electric guitar fit to make Chuck Berry weep with envy. YouTube that right now.
I want to meet all of my brethren. Don't you know? I said, I want to meet all of my brethren.
When I first saw the Blues Brothers with James Brown singing a Southern gospel sermon, I thought it was a hilarious exaggeration. But having seen some footage of the genuine article, I'm willing to believe that the movie scene is more or less an entirely accurate depiction, trampolines aside. I'm uncertain how exactly one would exaggerate the reality of black worship in the 50s and 60s. In the white churches, the color palettes of the outfits chosen by congregations, like the demeanor, tended to be comparatively narrow and subdued, with the black Southern Baptist and Pentecostal churches seeing more in the way of bright colors and attention-grabbing hats, ties, socks, accessories, and shoes. Where the white folks might sit silently, eyes shut, attention turned inward, one would be more likely in these other kinds of churches to find the attitude of, "Look at me, I'm worshiping, give a shout," running counter to the eyes closed, "Don't stare, quiet, I'm worshiping," attitude seen up the street. In the black churches, the attitude seemed frequently to be, "Listen to my singing and the pastor's sermon. We're going to make you feel what we feel when we come out to church. Baptists represent." The white middle class equivalent generally was, "We trust you will listen to the sermon and pay attention to the instructive words of these hymns. We're going to invite you to think what we think when we come out to church." Where the whiter of the hymns would delve deeply into, "Please solemnly, gratefully consider the idea that Jesus suffered so much pain because of me," the black ones tended more toward, "I feel limitless ecstasy because of Jesus who freed me and knows my name." One thing was certain. There were churches with standing up, hands in the air, movement, and vocal exclamations, and there were churches with people sitting extremely still in chairs, silently. And it's still like that. In some cases, things in the entirely otherwise white-style churches have progressed to getting carefully to your feet, putting your hands in the air if you like, and swaying gently and serenely a bit, like palm fronds in a very gentle breeze. Still, no brightly colored outfits. Still, a lot of quiet reverence and songs about "I surrender all." A compromise, I suppose. Segregated still. My folks aren't racists. But one time, my dad asked me to find, steal, him some good gospel music on the internet. And I knew exactly what to do. Stuff like On the Gaithers. I went on a downloading spree. I found compilation after compilation after historic and modern compilation of gospel music, and what I found is, it was all segregated. Utterly segregated. Still, to this day. There were Bill Monroe, the Carter Family, and George Beverly Shea on the one hand, which you would really like, and there were the Edwin Hawkins singers, Sister Rosetta Tharpe, and Aretha Franklin on the other, which would make him need to leave the room in horror at how irreverent and sensual and human-pleasingly hip-moving that all was. There was a specific mood he wanted help achieving, and it was restrained reverence, sorrow, and humble gratitude, while humbly offering the sacrifice of joy and life ambitions. Not joy in a freedom he was now celebrating. If there was any song written by a person of color, the face it was coming out of was invariably a white one, with a smooth, round voice. But mainly, he'd want a hymn like this, emphasizing how Jesus' sufferings were our fault, about the crimes we had done, and what worms we were.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Thy body slain, sweet Jesus thine, and bathed in its own blood. While the firm mark of wrath divine thy soul in anguish stirred. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, at the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Well might the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in, when Christ the mighty maker died for man his creature's sin. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. Thus might I hide my blushing face while his dear cross appears. Dissolve my heart in thankfulness and melt my eyes to tears. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief cannot repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. And now I am happy all the day.
And here, sung in my characteristically smooth, round, white tones, I will attempt a song that my father would accept, even though the lyrics are more jubilant.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 4. I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. And praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. And praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man I wandered alone. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then like the blind man God gave back his sight. And praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander and stray. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. And praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow in sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.